Nice to see everybody back at the beginning of the Zman. Some of the Talmidim at the end of the Zman went to Poland. For me, one of the most touching parts, leaving aside the Holocaust, but looking at the godless of Europe, the awesomeness of Europe, the Torah in Europe, is going to Kotsk. Did you go to Kotsk?
Yes.
It's going to Kotsk. And the Kotzker Rebbe's legacy, his power, was he took Hasidus where the Baal Shem Tov had emphasized that every single person had tremendous, almost infinite potential, and by connecting to a Rebbe, even someone who felt small could also become great. The Kotzker Rebbe almost rebelled against it. And the Kotzker Rebbe emphasized that you yourself have to work on becoming the best person that you could possibly be. Kotzker Rebbe said, I'm not interested in having Hasidim, I'm interested in making every single one of the Hasidim become great Rebbes. And sure enough, he changed the face of Polish Jewry because he created five great Hasidic Rebbes, amongst them the Avni Nezer and the Rebbe of Gur, etc., etc. But to do that, the Rebbe had to emphasize that we need to conquer certain chesronos that are a part of ourselves. And he pointed out that man has a propensity to fall to places that are very low. Ad kedei kach that the Rebbe became so disgusted with the world around him, which was quite a holy world at the time, he went into seclusion for 22 years. Legend has it that when one of the Hasidim tried to see what the Kotzker Rebbe was doing, he climbed up from the back of the building and began to open up the window, and he saw the Kotzker Rebbe's back, and the Kotzker Rebbe screamed out in Yiddish, Mach sich de finster, weil de Welt stinkt. Close the window because the world stinks. At the same time, in the world of Musar, Rabbi Reisman, one of my great rabbis from Tarva Das, pointed out there was also a tension. That's a tension of Slobodka versus Nevarduk. In Slobodka, they emphasize Gadlus HaAdam, and Nevarduk, they emphasize Shiflus HaAdam. What I want to talk about tonight is start off talking about, very briefly, from a perspective of Gadlus HaAdam, the tremendous potential that man has. In Kotsk, they emphasize the Shiflus HaAdam, and spend most of the time talking about the Shiflus, and maybe come back and see the tremendous potential that man has. Hakaras HaTov is at the core of Avodas Hashem. Bali Musar, from the perspective of the tremendous potential that man has, points out that the moment in which a person begins to think of all of the chasadim, all the great things God has given us in our lives, is the moment in which we could reach Madregos and Avodas Hashem, as long as we begin to appreciate, to be Makir Tov in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ad kan gadlus ha'adam. But Rabosai, there's another part to it. Says the Medrash, Kol ha'koifer b'toivoso shel chaveiro. Anybody who rejects, ignores, manages to miss the goodness that someone else does for them, koifer lebesayif b'toivosoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the end, they're going to end up denying the existence of God. And it's based on a pasuk, the Medrash in Parashas in Shmo says, Vayokom el chodosh al Mitzrayim asher lo yada as Yosef, asher lo yada as Yosef, he didn't know Yosef. Basof, what does it say? Just a few psukim later. Vayomer paro, lo yadati es Hashem. That means that if we don't begin to spend a tremendous amount of time to appreciate the goodness that other people have done for us, if it goes unchecked, shiflus ha'adam, we could ultimately become kofrim. Frum, but kofrim. I want to share with you, someone mentioned to me, that there was a yeshiva that made a Shabbaton. And the yeshiva charged, for the basic expenses for the Shabbaton, it charged $50. And someone who worked so hard for that yeshiva, read to me an email, I'm glad he didn't tell me the name of the person, and that's why I feel more comfortable saying over. An email that someone had sent, every yeshiva has this, right? They have a Shabbaton, a get-together, they send a mass email out to the alumni, and there's a basic charge. The charge was $50, and the Talmud writes back, He says, I'd like to come to the Shabbaton, but I'm not going to come for lunch and Shalosh Shudis. Can I please pay only for Friday night? Now, stopping right there, Rabbosai, there are some Talmidim that it's hard for them. Okay. But it's the next sentence that tore the heart of this Mechanech. His next sentence was, and I don't know how much of the boys here are really thinking about this. And he said, it would be a pity to waste the money. Now, I phoned back to Shabbatons from Eretz Yisrael. If you do a cheshbon, if 100 boys, 100 alumni come to a Shabbaton, $50, 100, that's $5,000. If you have 5-6 Rabbeim flying back from Eretz Yisrael, so that doesn't even cover the price of the Rabbeim flying back. You know what's happened to a boy like this? Without even realizing it, he's entirely forgotten everything that the yeshiva and the Rabbeim have given to him. Why did such a thing happen? How could it happen? Rav Nevin Zal, in an amazing sicha on Hakaras HaTov, points out, and I want you to start thinking about how much of sometimes our Hakaras HaTov to our yeshiva, to our parents, to our friends, to our camps, yeshiva at large, and our Rabbeim B'Prat, is sometimes so guilty of the following rationales. Rav Nevin Zal says the lack of Hakaras HaTov we justify all the time. This is, by the way, an amazing sicha right in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, the first page. He says, there are 6 or 7 arguments that a person has sometimes where they justify not feeling the necessary Hakaras HaTov. Aleph, you know what they say to themselves? Amnam Asali Tova, Avo Shilavti Lo. Yeah, yeshiva was great, but I paid. The yeshiva is expensive. Number one. Number two, Mal Kfar Asah. He didn't really do me a favor. He didn't take any effort on his behalf. The Rebbe was saying a shira either way, whether I was going to be there or I wasn't going to be there, he did me a favor. Number three, Zot Nikra Tova, Hareze Bekoshi, Holy B'mashu. It didn't really help me that much. Hayiti Mestader Gam Biladav. Number four, Hu Be'emet Asamashu, Avol Ani Lo Hayiti Mitametz Ma'atzmi. Yeshiva didn't do it. It was my effort. Zeloya Shavemuma. It was all me. Number five, Hu Bechlalo Et Kaven L'Tovati. This is a common one. He didn't intend to do me the favor. Hu Asazot La'atzmo. He was doing it for himself. B'mikra Zehol Gamli. It also helped me out too. Number six, Kol Mashu Yaseh B'Shvilo Lo Yuchol Ishtavot L'Tova Shepam Asiti Avuro. Everything that I did for him is worth so much more than anything he did for me. Rabbosai, I think if we're honest with myself, I was reading this list, my Rebbe hit me right between the eyes. How are we supposed to combat with such a thing? Because if we fall prey to those arguments, all of a sudden we begin to become big lamdonim. Every single one of those arguments are beautiful lamdusha arguments. Eventually, it leads us on a track that we no longer appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The answer is a very, very striking teaching of Rabbi Rucham Amir. Rabbi Rucham says, the Mitzrayim did terrible things to us in Mitzrayim. But the Torah says that there's a difference between a Mitzri and an Ammoni and Moavi. There's a prohibition to be mean to an Egyptian. The Torah prohibits us to marry into Ammoni u'Ba'avi forever because Ashal Kidmo lo Kidmo lechem b'lechem. They didn't offer you bread. But a Mitzri, after 3 generations, we're allowed to. What's the difference between the two? Says Rav Yerucham, something amazing. The Mitzriim did one thing full-heartedly for us. And that was, they gave us food, and it was good food, to the point that when we were in the desert, we said, we want to go back to the food in Egypt. Says Rav Yerucham, the moment in which a person has a chiyuv of Hakaras HaTov for someone else is the moment that they no longer can make any other cheshbonos. The chiyuv of Hakaras HaTov is so profound to even to the Egyptians that they did one thing that was entirely good for us. Someone asked me, does that mean that you have to have a Hakaras HaTov to the Nazis, to the Germans? No, the difference is the Nazis didn't give us good food either. But when it came to the Mitzrayim, there was one thing that they did give us good. And for that, we're indebted Hakaras HaTov. And the rest is up to God. Atem tacharishun, Hashem yilachem lachem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of the rest. The Egyptians are going to get what they need to get. But for you, you have one chiyuv of Hakaras HaTov. Rabosai, that's the answer to all these six things. The answer is we can't fall prey to that shiflus ha'adam where man begins to rationalize and begins to justify why he isn't feeling that necessary hakaras tov. And a separate shmuz we have to discuss is how you express that hakaras tov. But the first part is for a person to internalize inside of themselves. This is so important. And you know why I'm emphasizing this in the context of Yeshiva? I want to say something. I've toyed with whether I should say it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to tell you something that's very, very painful. Maybe I'm just a loser. And maybe all my friends are losers. But I don't know a single Rebbe, both in the United States and Israel, that doesn't have difficulty paying the bills at the end of the month, balancing the check. And the Talmud could say that it's a waste of money. He can't afford it. The Rabbein will go over, bend over backwards. But a waste of money? You know, they say a joke going from the serious to... They say that there was a bartender who was really, really strong. The owner of the bar was so proud of what a fellow he had behind the bar. So he said that he challenges anybody that when he squeezes the lemon into the drinks, that no one could squeeze another drop out of it. And for years and years, he challenged anybody in the bar to squeeze out another drop out of lemon after the bartender was finished. No one ever was able to. He offered $1,000 for anybody who could squeeze out. 5 years later, one guy walks in and he sees the challenge on the board and he says, I could do it. He walks up to the lemon after the bartender has entirely squeezed it out and he squeezes 6 drops out of lemon. No one got even one of them. It's a small, skinny guy. So the owner of the bar is counting out the $1,000 and he says to him, what do you do for a living? And he says, oh, I'm a principal of a Jewish day school. It's painful, Rabbi Osai. I want to go to another, take this medrash and take it to a deeper level. And the medrash that I want to discuss about being kofar b'Hashem, if you're kofar b'midas or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at first glance, I want to see this medrash from a totally different angle. Last night I was struck. I was by Har Tzion. I was parking my car in the Old City. And I passed by, what was today? You guys know what today was? Here in Eretz Yisrael, Yom HaShoah. And there was a tekes for Yom HaShoah. In the tekes, there must have been hundreds of young Israeli teenagers, most of them not religious, sitting, many of them just hanging out, joking with each other. There was a young girl standing on the podium reading something. I couldn't hear what she had said, what she was saying. They weren't listening. And I was thinking to myself, what is Yom HaShoah for so many Israelis? If you happen to have heard and the story touched you, so maybe something will go in. But for us, B'nai Torah, the understanding of the Shoah, from us supposed narrow-minded Orthodox people, is something which I think has so much more potential in terms of making an impact in something that's very lasting. This year is the 50th yahrzeit of a Godol B'Torah, a builder of Torah, that I doubt most of the Talmidim in the room have heard his name, but I want to talk about his life story for about 3-4 minutes and bring out a deeper Havana of what Hakaras HaTov really, really, really means. And to understand what Rabbi Rucham is really saying in very tangible, tragic, but glorious terms. The name of this Godol B'Torah is Rabbi Chil Michel Gordon. Rabbi Chil Michal Gordon was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Lamja. Lamja is the yeshiva that Rabbi Shmuel Rozovsky learned in before he became Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich. Lamja is the yeshiva that Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky learned in. Lamja was one of the most beautiful yeshivas from the area of Poland where my family is from. I believe my great-grandfather learned in the yeshiva Lamja. My great-uncle told me beautiful stories about his Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Chil Michal Gordon. Rabbi Chil Michal Gordon became Rosh Yeshiva in Lamja at a very, very young age. At a young age, he lost his first wife. It wasn't so uncommon. She passed away in childbirth. He got remarried. He had, in total, 5 children. The Nazis came to power. His yeshiva was ultimately destroyed. Chil Michal Gordon was collecting money in America at the time, and like a few rabbanim, was trapped, separated from his wife and family. At the time, he had one son in America. His daughter, who was someone very, very special, as you'll see in a moment, was married to Reb Chaim Ozer Brzezinski's nephew, Reb Lutkovsky, who was a tremendous Lamdin. His 3 children in Europe, of course, were killed by the Nazis, Al Kiddush Hashem, along with his son-in-law, his son-in-law, who was something very special, as well as his daughter and their children. They were all killed by Nazis, Al Kiddush Hashem. He had one son who was here. He was learning in the yeshiva of Lamja, where Reb Shmuel Rozovsky was learning, and where Reb Chaim Kanievsky later learned. That son was guarding the yeshiva one night. In those days, the yeshiva Bachram needed to guard the yeshiva, just to appreciate what we had. Yeshiva Bachram used to guard. They used to take turns. The boys who were learning 18 hours, then they would go the other 6 hours and guard the yeshiva. He was killed by an Arab terrorist at age 20. Rabbi Chil Michal Gordon's last son passed away shortly after in New York. Rabbi Chil Michal Gordon, at about the age, Be'erech 45, was left with nobody. But he didn't stop. Besimcha, and my great-uncle told me, this is in my great-uncle Sefer, he recorded it, that one of the happiest people that he ever met was Rabbi Chil Michal Gordon, somehow. And he kept on, and he built the yeshiva here in Eretz Yisrael, as well as an adjunct in New York City after the Shoah. He had a close Talmud, Chaim Shapiro. Chaim Shapiro escaped from the Nazis, and all the way in Siberia, he got a package sent from Yechiel Michal Gordon to Chaim Shapiro. Rabbi Yechiel Michal Gordon sent packages upon packages, every single Talmud that he thought might be alive in Russia, he sent. He kept a kesher with every single possible Talmud that would survive or could possibly survive. And the Kesher Chaim Shapiro, who's, by the way, a beautiful author, he has a few beautiful books, he kept up with him even after he came to New York. Chaim Shapiro says that he thinks that Rabbi Chil Michal Gordon exercised that simcha al pi yisod of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that a person's face is a Rishus HaRabim. And if he exudes happiness, then that affects others. And if he exudes sadness, then that's something else. But at the same time, Chaim Shapiro says that when he went home, it's well known that at night he used to cry himself to sleep every night for the next 40 years. He passed away at the age of 83. He's one of the architects of Torah, builders of Torah. Most of the Talmidim here might not have even heard his name. But there's a particular anecdote that Chaim Shapiro records that I want to share with you. He said that he was lucky as a young man to have spent more time in Europe and got to know Rabbi Chil Michal Gordon's children even after Rabbi Chil Michal Gordon was trapped in America, 39, 40, and 41. Once while I was traveling to the subway, writes Chaim Shapiro to the yeshiva office, he asked me about his family. I was one of the last people to see his family alive, and I served as the final link with them. And he always asked me about them. And then I remembered something that had happened. His daughter, Chaika, was preparing herself for a marriage to Rav Kustovsky that I mentioned to you before, Chaim Meiser's nephew. And her uncle sent from America a dowry of $500. Chaika gave away the entire $500 to an orphan friend who was also about to get married. The story became well publicized, and a non-religious journalist expressed everyone's feeling in classical Polish, and there was an expression in Polish that was going around at this time, 37, 38, 39, something around there, and I can't read the Polish, I have no idea. An expression about her. Tears streamed down his cheeks into his gray beard. He was sitting with Rabbi Chil Michel Gordon on the subway. Then to my embarrassment, he embraced me and kissed me, right there in the crowded subway train. Holding on to my hand, he repeatedly whispered to himself, Nachas in Olam Haba, Nachas in Olam Haba. I walked with him to the yeshiva office, and as we were about to walk into the building, he said to me, do you know what I mean, the words Nachas in Olam Haba? He said, it's a Medrash Tanchuma on the parasha of Orla. Chaim Shapiro said he was so taken aback, he ran to the closest Sfarim store. He didn't have a Medrash Tanchuma nearby. He ran to the closest Sfarim store and he looked up the Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma describes that there's going to be a time that a person is going to raise children, teach them Torah, but will not see any nachas from them, but their nachas would be in Olam Haba. Now, Rabbi Chil Michel Gordon held on to that line in the Medrash Tanchuma, and that is what he saw. That's what he saw in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him in his life. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maftiach nachas in Olam Haba. He's promising him nachas in Olam Haba. That is Rabbi Chil Michel Gordon's secret, says Chaim Shapiro. And that's the deeper meaning of kol ha-koyfer b'tayvasay shal chavero, kofer b'tayvasay shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, we Jews believe that at the end of the day, that there's a reason and a rhyme for everything. There's good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us in our life, and sometimes we don't understand the meaning behind the bad. We don't understand that meaning. But a true Maimon believes that there is a bigger picture. A true Maimon understands that through all the tsar, at the end of the day, it must be good. In Kainim HaDvarim, says Rabbi Rucham of Mir, at the end of the day, you are not allowed to make the cheshbonos of what is tov and what is ra. If there's tov, you need to recognize it. A great man has the ability to be able to see and hold on to that tov. And everything else is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon. We said we're going to start with Shiflus Adam. That's Gadlus Adam. Such a man could come so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could become such a giant in Torah. I want to summarize what I'm drawing out from a saying from the Altar of Navarduk I just saw a couple of hours ago, and this we conclude. Listen to this amazing line from the Altar. Man wants to believe in himself and understand God. He wants to believe he could accomplish, and he wants to understand God. When in fact, says the Altar, he should believe in God and understand himself. Rabosai, what's the six arguments that the person is doing? He's justifying. He doesn't want to be indebted to anybody else. He wants to believe in himself. He doesn't want to be kafu to anybody else. What does Rabbi Chil Michel Gordon's life teach us? Rabbi Chil Michel Gordon's life is, he realizes he can't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He realizes that at the end of the day he has to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he needs to understand that his Yetzer Hara to be a Kafui Tov is so powerful and so dangerous. And therefore I'm a Vakish from you. Every single one of us have to ask ourselves, the moment that we have a chiyuv of hakaras hatov, put the cheshbonos aside. Be a maimin in kusha brichu. Believe that at the end of the day, if someone did a tov for me, I have to recognize that. And everything else is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon. Be'ezer Hashem, we should be zocha to be mekadeshem shemayim through hakaras hatov. and be great ma'aminim in kodesh b'richu as the giants that preceded us were. And with that, we'll be able to be mekadesh Yom Shemayim.